Glory to God. Welcome, everyone, to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. We are in Healing Month. Hallelujah. And our part one, we were talking about kicking over some sacred cows. We're talking about breaking through to our healing, breaking through to the things that God has for us. And so breaking through to our healing. And we talked about kicking over some sacred cows. We talked about Job and Paul's thorn. And we talked about Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And we talked about a few things in regards to kicking over some sacred cows. Because some sacred cows are some ways we believed, or the ways we've been taught, or the way religion has portrayed stuff can get in the way and become a hindrance or a speed bump or a block for us receiving. And so we wanted to get rid of those speed bumps. We wanted to get rid of those hindrances, those mindsets and those thoughts that would get in the way. And so we got rid of those. So healing comes easier when we have a more of an accurate and clear picture based on the Word of God. And so today I want to talk about the spirit of faith. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is Healing Month. We're talking about healing. How to enjoy our healing, how to walk in healing, how to receive our healing. Healing Month. Healing Month. Stirring up our faith in regards to healing and health. Glory to God. And so we started the month off with our three-day healing challenge. And we spent 3 days building ourselves up, learning about healing, dealing with obstacles and more mindsets that get in the way. Healing Month. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says this: "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, 'I believed, and therefore I spoke,' we also believe, and therefore speak." Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul said, "And since we have the same spirit of faith." So what did Paul say he had that put him over in the hard places of life? What do you say he had? If we asked him, what do you have that puts you over in the hard places? What do you have that puts you over during the struggle? What kept you going when everything and everyone was telling you to stop? The Apostle Paul, what do you have? What kept you going? What propelled you forward when everything was trying to hold you back, stop you? When the pressure was on, what kept you going? What do you have? The Apostle Paul said, "I'll tell you what I have. I have the spirit of faith, according to what is written." See, the spirit of faith is always based on the Word of God. The spirit of faith is not on our opinion. The spirit of faith is not based on the latest teaching and theological discourse. The Word of God, the spirit of faith, is according to what is written. It says, "According to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak." So Paul is quoting from David, from Psalm 116. Let's go to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. David wrote this by the Spirit of God, testifying of the goodness of God. And the Apostle Paul picked it up and said, "As it is written, I have the spirit of faith." I have the spirit of faith, as it is written, according to as it is written. "I believe, therefore I speak." We also, he said, listen, we also believe and therefore speak. Hallelujah. Amen. So we also can. This is not just back then in the day, but we also can have. Amen. Paul, what did you have? Well, if he had it, we can have it. Amen. We can have it. Glory to God. The spirit of faith. And David said, verse 8, Psalm 116, verse 8. He said, "For you have delivered my soul from death." You've delivered my eyes from tears. You have delivered my feet from falling. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. You've delivered me from death. Whatever death situation, if it was sickness and disease, if it was attacks of the enemy, if it was hard situations where there was literal enemies that came to kill him. He said, God, you've delivered me from death. You have delivered me from crying, from tears. We may cry for a moment, but to be crying about the same thing week after week and month after month and year after year is not God's plan. We need to be delivered from the crying over the spilt milk. You know what I'm saying? We need to be delivered from the crying. Every time I think about it, quit thinking about it like that. The reality is that may have happened. But let's find out from the Word of God, what's the promise? What's the deliverance? What has God done for us? So we can think about that and it stirs up the emotions and then we go, listen, but this is what God said. And so if we want to get emotional, let's get emotional about what God said. He has delivered me from the tears. So now we can look at the situation and we go, yeah, I understand. It's bad. It was awful. It was terrible. I would not wish that on anybody. We can talk about it without getting emotional because we have renewed our mind with the great and precious promises of God. Now we get excited about what God did. God brought deliverance. God brought freedom. God brought light to my darkness. And now I begin to rejoice and laugh because what God did, not because of what the devil did. And so we can talk about what the devil did as a testimony to tell others about what God did. Amen. And we don't have to get sucked into the emotions and get depressed and cry about it. We don't have to cry about it anymore. He says, I've been delivered. For you have delivered my soul from death. You have delivered my eyes from tears. And you have delivered my feet from falling. We don't have to keep falling and tripping over the same thing. We don't have to keep tripping and falling over the same thing. If we keep tripping and falling over the same thing, it's time to get some answers. Amen. It's time to get some wisdom. The Lord wants to deliver us. It's His will that we not keep tripping over the same thing, keep falling over the same thing. He's got answers. He wants to deliver us from falling and tripping over the same thing. We don't have to keep falling. Falling and falling for the same thing. I just keep falling for that. I just keep falling for that. I keep falling. Quit saying that. Quit saying that. I used to fall for that, but not anymore. I've been delivered from falling. Amen. That's what we say. I've been delivered from falling. David said this. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and from my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord. I will walk in His presence. I will walk with Him in the land of the living, meaning all the days of my life. The land of the living is here. Amen. Where people live. We're living. We're living here. Here on the earth. I will walk with Him all the days of my life. Verse 10. I believed, therefore I spoke. I begin to speak and say what I believe. I begin to speak and say what I believe. I'm delivered. I'm free. Hallelujah. I believed. This is the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith does not deny the situation or the circumstances, but the spirit of faith chooses to go beyond it. Not get stuck in it. Right? An airplane that never flies is not really enjoying the purpose that it was built and designed. But the only way the airplane can fly is it's going to have to tap into the higher laws, because gravity will keep it stuck to the earth forever. It has to start moving. And it has to begin to tap into these higher laws of thrust and lift. In other words, it has to start moving forward. It has to start going fast enough that all of a sudden, lift begins to take place. And it no longer is stuck. We too can be stuck all our life and not accomplish our purpose and what we were built and designed for if we don't move forward. But we need to move forward. We need to move forward and begin to tap into the law of the Spirit of life. Begin to tap into the higher laws of the Spirit of God so we can begin to get unstuck. Because God's will is for us to be unstuck. His will is for us to be delivered from death, delivered from tears, delivered from falling. The spirit of faith will not get so focused on that. The spirit of faith will begin to focus on the deliverance and the freedom and the liberty and all the things that God has for us. There is something better ahead of us. Amen? We're not stuck in the way it's been. We're not stuck. You're not stuck. Say, I'm not stuck. I'm not stuck. Amen. We are not stuck. Glory to God. Glory to God. The spirit of faith propels us forward. Psalm 18. Psalm 18. So David says this. David says this. Psalm 18, verse 28. Psalm 18, verse 28 says, "For you will light my candle." New King James says lamp. King James says candle. You will light my candle. You will light my lamp. You will light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. We're not stuck in the dark. The Lord my God will light my candle. So, for years, I had, you light my candle, you light my lamp, and so I know when I heard this preached when I was younger and someone said, that's like a flashlight now. So I just thought about flashlight. But I've actually gone back to the lamp and the candle. The lamp and the candle. Because there's something about the candle, or there's something about the lamp. You know, the old wicker, the oil lamps, they got to be lit. Candle, they need to be lit. They need to be lit with what? Fire. Fire. Flashlight, you just, you know, flick the switch. And it doesn't give the same analogy or the same excitement to me as this. You got to light the candle with what? Fire. You're going to light the lamp with fire. He said, you will light my lamp. You'll light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Verse 29. For by you I can run through a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. Hallelujah. This is the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith is a result of having our candle lit. Continually being lit. And on fire. Why? So we can run through the troop and leap over the wall. We are lit so we can propel forward. We're lit so we can move forward. We're lit so we can run through the troop and leap over the wall. Instead of looking at the troop and running the other way. Instead of looking at the wall and saying it's too tall. Well, there's giants in the land. We can't possess the land. That was not the spirit of faith. But Joshua and Caleb had the spirit of faith. They said, yes, let's possess the land now. God's given it to us. Amen? They didn't look at the wall. They looked at God. They didn't look at the giants. They looked at God. The wall was there, but God's bigger than the wall. I'll run through the troop and leap over the wall. Amen? We're not denying the wall. We're not denying the troop. What we are doing is focusing on the greater one. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The greater one lives in us. The spirit of faith sees beyond the wall and the troop. Sees the great God. Amen? The spirit of faith. And so I'm gonna take a little bit of a rabbit trail here just based on verse 28. The Lord will light my candle. How does he do that? How does he light your candle? How does he light your candle? Let's go. So keep your fingers here in Psalm 18 because we're coming back. But how does he light our candle? Proverbs 20, 27. Proverbs 20, 27. Let's go through this process so you can understand this. Psalm 20, 27. God said he's going to light our candle. What does that look like? Psalm 20 and verse 27 says this. Proverbs 20, thank you. Proverbs 20, there we go. Proverbs 20, verse 27. Yep, thank you. Proverbs 20, 27 says this, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." The spirit of man is the candle or the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of his heart. New King James says belly. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Your spirit is the candle. God said, I will light your candle. He says, I want to light and ignite your spirit. Spiritually speaking, I want to light you. I want you to get lit. I want you to get on fire. He says, I'm going to light your spirit. I'm going to light you. Okay? So this is what I'm talking about. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Your spirit is the candle of the Lord. And God said, I will light your candle. He's going to light us. So how does he light us? Now let's go back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Our spirit is the candle of the Lord. And it searches. It's searching. Our spirit is searching. Our spirit is looking. Our spirit is investigating. Our spirit is what reaches out to God. Our spirit's what's hungry. He says, I'm going to light your candle. I'm going to light your spirit. How do you do that? Well, Psalm 119, verse 105 says this, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But Psalm 119, 130, verse 130, verse 130 says this, the entrance of your word gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Our spirit is the candle of the Lord. God said, I'm going to light your candle. How is he going to light it? The entrance of his word gives light. The entrance of his word gives light. So the Lord enlightens our spirit so we can pursue and take new territory. Our spirit is the candle or the lamp of the Lord. And revelation knowledge from the word of God gets us lit on fire. It's not just knowing and memorizing this. We can know and we can memorize, but revelation knowledge is completely different than memorized scripture. Revelation knowledge is all of a sudden when the lights come on. What's that mean? That means we just got lit. You can read that same scripture, you can quote that same scripture, and all of a sudden one day you go, whoa. Whoa. I'm seeing something new. Brother Hagin said he taught on faith. He taught on faith. He taught on, people thought he, you know, wrote Mark 11, 23 and 24, but he didn't. God did that. But he taught on it so much. But he said every year he taught on it, he'd see something new. He'd just get a little bit more light. Something, a little bit more every time. Every year he taught us, as the students taught it at Bible school, taught it, you know, wherever he was on the road. Every year he taught it for over 60 years. Saw something new. Something new. He read through the New Testament. Now, more than this, but he said, though the one day the Lord said, did you ever notice that in Mark 11, 23, the word say is in there three times and the word believe? And he says, no, I didn't know that. And he'd read the New Testament through 150 times. That's a lot of times. And he said, I never saw that. And the Lord said, there's a lot of stuff in there, son, you don't have not seen yet. What does that mean? That means there's a whole lot of light. There's a whole lot of revelation. There's a whole lot of stuff that we kind of go over that all of a sudden can go, poof, and get lit. He causes the eyes of our understanding to be flooded with light, revelation knowledge. All of a sudden it goes, whoa, that's good. And what does it do? It gets us excited, because that's what the fire does. That's what the fire does. Gets us lit. Hallelujah. He lights our candle with revelation knowledge. And revelation knowledge is the stuff that causes us. Revelation knowledge produces the spirit of faith. The Lord gave me this back in 2018. I've been teaching on faith. Matter of fact, when I was pastoring in the late 90s, I think my longest series at that point, I taught a series on faith, and I think I taught 24 weeks or something like that or more. So I've been teaching on faith. Because I taught a lot of faith principles. I knew the principles. I've been to the Bible school. I've, you know, read my Bible, and so lots of principles, and taught a lot. And I've been just learning. The lights have been coming on more and more and more for me. In 2018, he gave me this. Faith is the substance. It is that something that makes us different, giving us hope and expectation. That something is the spirit of faith. Something is the spirit of faith. That there's something different about us. When you've got the spirit of faith, there's something different. Not just having the principles of faith, not just being able to quote the faith principles, not just being able to quote the faith scriptures, not being able to say, you know what, I know that. Oh, I can quote that scripture. I know that scripture. That's not the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith, it's the substance. It's that something that makes us different. It gives us hope and expectation. We are able to give testimony of the hope and confidence and expectation that we have. That's 1 Peter 3:15 and Ephesians 3:12. See, it's that something that gives us testimony of hope. Glory to God. A confidence and expectation that we have. It's that something that gives us confidence. It's that something that gives us hope and expectation. Faith gives us substance. We are to be a people of substance. And we are not just talkers and babblers. What we say actually comes to pass. We believe what we say and speak with confidence and inward certainty and get results. We are convinced and are sure and talk with assurance. That confidence, assurance, and boldness in what God has said is our evidence and proof that we shall have what we say and see what we don't yet see. See, that's Hebrews 11:1. That's what this is. Faith is the substance. It's that something. It's that something. It's the spirit of faith. It's the spirit of faith. It's not of the head. It's not just knowing information. The spirit of faith is of the heart. The spirit of faith is of the heart, and it literally propels us forward. So back to Psalm 18. Back to Psalm 18. So what do we see here? We see here, he said, listen, you will light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. It's the spirit of faith. For by you I will run against the troop. I will run through a troop and I will leap over the wall. Verse 37 says, I have pursued my enemies. Spirit of faith will pursue the enemy. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. We have enemies. This is healing month. So we understand that sickness and disease is an enemy. Our enemy is the devil, Satan. And he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And he will use sickness and disease because we found out that it is a product and a result of sin. Adam and Eve opened the door to the curse. And all disease, every sickness, and every plague, affliction, fever, and inflammation is part of the curse. And so the door has been opened. It's here for now. So it's an enemy. It's an enemy that we must deal with. It's not going to go away just because we ignore it. We're not going to defeat it because we just stick our head in the sand. It's an enemy. And David said, I have pursued my enemies. I have overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. I didn't give up. Don't give up when you're dealing with sickness and disease. Whatever condition and situation you're dealing with, don't give up. He said, listen, I've wounded them so they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. Continue. Stay with the word. Stay with the spirit of faith. Don't give up. Don't back down. Hallelujah. I don't see anything changing. It has nothing to do with what we see. I don't feel anything changing. Faith is not about how we feel or what we see. In the natural, it has everything to do with what God said. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We stick with the word of God. We stick with the word of God. We say what God says and we attack the enemy with the word of God. Amen? The enemy is not getting back up. It's not coming back. Oh, what if this comes back on me? That's not the spirit of faith will attack it until so it's completely defeated. Defeated. Doesn't get up. It ain't coming back. It ain't coming back. No, we're running it off, destroying it, dealing with it, and it ain't coming back. Amen? It ain't coming back. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 46. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. See, it's not coming back. I'm going to back up again. It's not coming back. Dottie Osteen dealt with cancer. She destroyed it. And she goes through her healing scriptures every day since that day. That's how we keep it not coming back. Brother Hagin went through his healing scriptures. When he got raised up from the... I heard that he can... Every day he would go through his healing scriptures. He would continue sticking with the word of God. Faith. Deal with it. Why? Because that makes sure it never comes back. We're not doing that because we're afraid. We're doing that because we're victorious. We're doing that because we're reminding it it's under our feet. And you are never coming back. You are never getting up. You are under my feet. Amen? The spirit of faith. We got an attitude towards the devil. You're not getting up. You're not getting up. Hallelujah. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God who avenges me. He's our avenger. He's protecting and defending us. Amen? We work together with Him. He's our avenger. We got the name of Jesus. We got the blood of Jesus. We've got the word of God. These are our weapons that we use. And they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Hallelujah. And so we see, he says, listen, it is God who avenges me and subdues the people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. He also lifts me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me. He's the one who's delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the nations and sing praises to your name. Praise is another one of those weapons that we have. God is our avenger. God is our avenger. So now let's go ahead and take a look at the spirit of faith in action. Like what do you do to the enemy of sickness and disease? What do we do? What do we do? Let's find out. Let's look at some spirit of faith in action so we can put these things to work in our lives. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. So we see here, starting in verse 1. The Philistines gathered their armies together to battle, and they were gathered against Judah. And they encamped at these few places. And verse 2, Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up a battle array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood in the mountain on one side, and the Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And a champion. So they're going to go to war, but then all of a sudden one guy just walks out. A champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Is a giant. And he had a bronze helmet on his head and was armed with a coat of mail or a coat of metal, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and bronze javelin between his shoulders. And now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. I guess I could have brought my Amplified and read that. But he was a giant. He was very tall, and he was completely covered in this massively heavy armor, and his spear was this honking, it wasn't a regular spear, it was this honking massive pole, and the spearhead, the metal spearhead, was just, I mean, it was enough to, you had to carry it with both hands. But he slung it around. It was on the head of his spear. And he came out, and verse 8 says, that he stood and cried out, or yelled out to the armies of Israel, and he said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me." If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. When Saul and the armies of Israel heard these words, they were dismayed, their hearts melted, and they were greatly afraid. Greatly afraid. Now, we pick up in verse 14, it says, David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. So his three older brothers were in the army. They were there that day, and they were terrified. David was at home. We see here, verse 15, David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep in Bethlehem. So he's back at home right now feeding the sheep for his dad. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. What's your enemy that's presenting himself morning and evening? We're talking about sickness and disease. What sickness, what disease? What's the enemy saying to you morning and night, trying to intimidate you, trying to knock you down, trying to defeat you, trying to get you to quit, trying to let you know you are stuck and nothing's ever going to change? Same enemy, same devil, uses the same tactics. 40 days, 40 nights. And Jesse told David, he said, "I want you to go. It's been a month and a half, haven't heard anything, you know. Go find out what's going on. Bring him some food." And so let's pick up verse 23. And as he talked with them, he He made it there. And he's now looking for his brothers. There was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. And the men said, "Have you seen him?" Verse 26. And David spoke to the men who stood by and said, "What shall be done to the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" This is the same David that said, "The Lord will light my candle, he will enlighten my darkness, and I will run through a troop. Because of him, I will run through a troop and leap over a wall." This is the same David that said, "I believe, and therefore I speak." This is the same David who had the spirit of faith. And everyone else heard these words from Goliath, and they were dismayed. Their hearts melted. They ran away. They were afraid. They were terrified. David heard the same words. And they said, "Did you see him?" And David said, "Did I see him? Have you seen my God?" They heard him and were terrified. David heard him and said, what's going to be done to the guy that kills him? Huh? Can you see the difference? The spirit of faith said, What's going to happen to the guy that kills him? What reward is there for the guy that kills him and removes this reproach? Because who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who does he think he is? And these words made it to his older brother, and his older brother got mad at him. Oh, yeah, he could not stand the spirit of faith. He didn't have the spirit of faith. He was terrified, and his younger brothers got the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith will irritate people. They will think you're proud, you're arrogant. They'll say, "Who do you think you are? Do you have an hour? Let me tell you who I am. Let me tell you whose I am. Let me tell you about the one whose I am. Let me tell you about the greater one. Let me tell you about what the Word says." They don't want to hear that. The spirit of faith cause us to run through a troop and leap over a wall, not back down and be afraid and cower and hide behind the rocks and the trees and withdraw. The spirit of faith is not withdrawing. The spirit of faith runs through the troop and leaps over the wall. Amen? Hallelujah. Victory, victory, victory. We don't just talk about victory. Let's live victory. Amen? Hallelujah. Tired of just talking victory. Let's live victory. Let's experience victory. Spirit of faith. And David said, verse 29, "Hey, what have I done?" Talking to his older brother. "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" There's a cause. There's a cause. There's a reason. It's not just about me. There's a reason. There's a cause. Is there not a cause? And so David said to Saul, his words made it to Saul, and Saul called him. And he said, verse 24, and David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when the lion and the bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and I struck it. And I delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and I struck it and killed it." It's the spirit of faith. Teenager, killing the lion and killing the bear. This is not just a Bruce Lee thing. This is David, a teenager, protecting his parents' sheep, the flocks. It's my responsibility to make sure 100 will go out and 100 come back. You lose the phone, you get a few, you lose a few. I mean, no, we're not losing none. Spirit of faith. We're not giving up. Hallelujah. He says there's a cause. He says, listen, he begins to rehearse and remember what the Lord said and what he did. The spirit of faith will cause us to focus on what the Lord said and what he's done for us before. Amen? The spirit of faith will keep our focus. What did God say? Now, what does it look like? Not where the pressure is. No, what did God say and what has He done before? Because if He did it before, He'll do it again. And if He did it for someone else, He'll do it for me. Hell, He's no respecter of persons. But what did He say? What did He say? What did He say? Hallelujah. And so He begins to go. The Lord who, verse 27, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, He will deliver me from the paw, from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to him, go, and the Lord be with you. The spirit of faith was contagious. And Saul said, you can't. And after he talked and spoke and said what he believed, and he was so full of confidence and expectation that he persuaded the king. The king said, well, yeah, then go for it. The spirit of faith got contagious. And the king said, yeah, okay, right. Here you go. So then we go, verse 40. And so David took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in the shepherd bag, and in the pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. And so, looked like he was just like a model. What are you doing out here? You should be over there. They should be taking pictures of you, putting in your magazine. What are you doing out here? Who do you think you are? Teenager, good looking. You're not a warrior. Who do you think I am? So, where were we? 43. Thank you. So the Philistine said to David, Am I a dog that you should come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David to his gods. And the Philistine said to David, now I want you to hear. The Philistine is talking. The Philistine is talking, and in just a moment, David is going to interrupt him. David has had enough of listening to the Philistine. You're going to have to get to the point where you've just had enough of sickness and disease and whatever it is in your life, the enemy talking. You're going to have to open up your mouth. What's the spirit of faith? I believe, therefore I speak. You're going to need to open up your mouth and begin to speak. Quit letting the enemy do all the talking. Quit letting the enemy do all the talking in your life. You want to get discouraged and get down, you just keep letting the devil do all the talking. He will talk you out. But if you start speaking the word of God, speaking and saying what you believe, declaring it, you keep that forward, you keep yourself hearing that, and you keep him hearing that, he's going to back off. Hallelujah. Mark Hankin says this, Don't ever run at your enemy with your mouth shut. You learned that from David. If you're going to run at your enemy, your mouth better be open. You better be speaking. And so in just a moment, David is going to he's fed up with hearing Goliath talking. And the thing about Goliath is no one's ever talked back to him since elementary school. Why? Because he's a giant. But David, he couldn't care less. He's an uncircumcised Philistine. He's an enemy. I'm tired of hearing you talk. So he's going to begin speaking. And so Goliath, the Philistine, said to David, come to me. He said, am I a dog that you should come to me and come to me with sticks? And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. He's about to continue on, and when I read this, if you've watched Transformers, I just see Megatron talking.
Come to me, boy. Come to me, boy.
That's what I'm thinking. Goliath. It's what he's saying. Come to me, boy. Come to me. Who do you think you are? Come to me, boy. I will kill you, and I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds of the air. And David just had enough of that and interrupts right in the middle of his conversation, right in the middle. He just interrupts him. And David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you, and I will take your head from you, and this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth might know that there is a God in Israel. There is a cause." This is the cause. I want you to understand this is the cause. "That all the earth might know that there's a God in Israel, and then all this assembly might know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." There's a cause that all the earth might know, and all these scaredy cats back here without the spirit of faith, I want them to know that God is our deliverer. Our faith and our confidence is not in our weapons. Our faith and our confidence is in the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you see that? He began to speak and say, the spirit of faith does what? The spirit of faith believes and speaks. Believes and speaks. And if we're afraid to speak, it's because we're not fully persuaded yet. So what's the encouragement? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Continue putting the word of God into your heart. Speak in the word of God to yourself until it becomes strong and confident, and you can boldly begin to speak and declare the word of God. Keep getting it in there. Keep getting it in there. Day and day out, meditating the word of God day and night. Thinking these scriptures, talking these scriptures, putting these scriptures in, hearing the word of God day and night. And the spirit of faith till you get lit. Amen. God said, "I will light your candle." To keep feeding on the word of God, speaking the word of God, hearing the word of God until you get lit. And when you get lit, the spirit of faith, you'll be ready to run through the troop and leap over the wall. There will be no doubt about it. You're not going to just pretend to be like someone else. "Well, let me pretend and I'll run." You're not going to leap and make it over the wall if you're pretending. If you're only partly persuaded, you're going to run flat into the wall. You're going to hit the troop and they're going to smack you down. But the spirit of faith, when you got confidence and assurance, it's that something. It's that something that causes you to rise above, to run through the troop and leap over the wall. Amen? To get to the other side. It is that thing that causes you to speak to the mountain and it's removed and cast into the sea forever. The spirit of faith. "I believe, and therefore I speak." Don't run at your giant with your mouth closed. "I believed, and therefore I speak." 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. I have a feeling that we are going to have to pick up next week. Healing month is leaking more and more into December. Hallelujah. One more. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 to 17. "Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, 'My camp will be in such and such a place.' And the man of God went to the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there.' Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watching there not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, 'Will you show me which of us is for the king of Israel?' In other words, there is a double agent here. Who is it telling our battle plans to the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, it's not us, it's got nothing to do with us. He says, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, he tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. You speak, you talk, God hears it, God tells the prophet, and the prophet tells the king of Israel. And so, I mean, you cannot, your plans are... So he said, well, then go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night, and they surrounded the city. Huh? As if Elisha didn't know that. If he knew the plans before, he's known the plans right now. The devil is stupid. I tell you what, the devil is stupid. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out there, you know, he's probably, you know what, still in his pajamas, and he steps out the door and he stretches and goes like this. And then he backs back up slowly and closes the door behind him, and he tells the prophet. What's he tell the prophet? He tells the prophet. He went out and there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots, and the servant said to him, alas, my master! What shall we do? And Elisha answered. He said, do not be afraid. This is the spirit of faith, folks. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Alas, my master, what are we going to do? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And he looks around the room and it's like, one, two, one, two. Something's wrong here. I'm not sure you know what you're talking about, sir. One, two. Two, and they've got us all surrounded. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now, I don't know if you've watched the movie Quigley Down Under. But at the end of the movie, the enemy is killed. And then there's this garrison of military troops on horseback that come in, and they're going to kill him, Quigley, because he killed the bad guy. In other words, he basically was defending himself. The bad guy was going to kill him and said, threw him a gun and said, you know what, let's have a draw. Because Quigley was, he used a rifle the whole movie. He said, I don't like guns. He used a rifle. He was a sharpshooter. And so the enemy, who was this proud, bigot, kind of selfish landowner out there in Australia, he threw him a gun and said, okay, defend yourself. And so Quigley quick draws and kills him. And he said, I don't understand. He said, I never told you I'd never used a gun. I said, I just don't like using them. And so he quick drew and killed it. So the bad guy's killed, and then this garrison comes in. They're gonna take him. But all of a sudden, the wind starts to blow, and there's that sound from the aboriginals. And the hills all around this landowner's home filled with Australian natives, filled. And this group on horseback that are going to kill and execute or take to jail Quigley, they looked around. They turned around, they trotted off, and they left forever. Why? Because there was more that were with him than there were with them. And when I see this, this is what Elisha knew. There's more that be with us. In other words, we are more intimidating than them. There's more with us. The greater one living big on the inside of us. There's more that be with you. The spirit of faith knows who we are. The spirit of faith knows who's with us. The spirit of faith knows and has confidence. Don't have to see it. Elisha didn't have to see it. But the servant needed to see it. And then he went, hallelujah. I want you to understand, there's more for you. God is for you. Do not fear. There are more with us than with them. Do not be afraid. The spirit of faith is not afraid. Amen? The spirit of faith is not afraid. And what did he do? He believed, and therefore he spoke. I want you to see this. The spirit of faith believes and speaks. Elisha said, do not fear, because there are more with us than be with them. The spirit of faith believes and speaks. So it's very important that we actually believe. We need to know what we believe. We need to choose to believe what God said and then speak it. Amen? We will pick up here next week.